Hello, everyone, and welcome back to Bebop Banter, the internet's premier anime podcast. I am joined once again, after all these years, by my co-host Demetrius.
Hello, I'm a changed man.
And my co-host Saeed.
What it do? I have not changed much.
And it has been a while, everybody. As Demetrius said, he is a changed man. Let's just say we've all had some canon events happen, but we will save the update as to what has been going on with us, where we were, what we're doing, all that type of stuff for a future episode, because what better way? The stars perfectly aligned for this. What better way for us to come back than with an episode type that kind of has popped off for us a little bit, and that is a breaking news type of episode, everybody. There's been quite a few things in the world of anime, so we're going to jump right in. We're going to leave everybody, on a little bit of a cliffhanger as to everything we just talked about in the last minute until next week. But we have a lot of stuff to talk about. First of all, Demetrius, there has been, because you and I talk about it all the time, we have a couple smaller pieces of news to open with here. Then we're going to go into our main topic, which let's see if people can guess what it is before we hit that. But Demetrius, you and I have talked about it a lot over the past history of this podcast, I feel like. There is an anime website that we shop frequently that is undergoing a pretty big change. So I'm going to throw it to you. To just kind of let the viewers know what's going on with this particular shopping website here.
So, you know, we as economical anime shoppers, you know, looking at you, Aniplex, there's a lot of different places where you can buy your anime, your manga, your figurines, etc. One of the best places to do it that we found that supports your budget is a website called rightstuff.com. And they have a whole bunch of different things that you can buy, all kinds of memorabilia. However, they're going away, rather being rebranded under the Crunchyroll store. Isn't that right?
Yep. It is all being absorbed into the Crunchyroll store.
Just like it got turned into chocolate and eaten up by Majin Buu, basically.
Yeah, I think the hope here is there's not much to say other than, you know, if you have shopped on Right Stuff before, very soon it is just going to redirect you to the Crunchyroll store. I think the hope here is they keep some of the sales, right? Because there were some, I guess, there were some incredible sales.
Yeah, and I guess my question is, I had a Right Stuff account. I did have one because at least once a year, I'd go and see what kind of deal I can find, mark something off my list, and buy it. Am I going to be able to keep my Right Stuff account, and it'll just be converted to
that
a Crunchyroll account?
Question.
Or am I going to have to make a Crunchyroll account?
That is a good question. And also, like, how is the Crunchyroll store absorbing Right Stuff gonna, similar to what you're asking, which we don't have the answers for, the interactions between the two, right? Like Crunchyroll, they used to run their own sales separate from Right Stuff when they were two different entities, which now are they just gonna do typical Crunchyroll sales, or are they gonna have like the Right Stuff anime insane like Black Friday markdown type of stuff, right? And then also, Crunchyroll members on the Crunchyroll store traditionally get discounts. Is that just still going to stay around? Like, now that, assuming they have Right Stuff's awesome, crazy percentage off sales, are we also, is that going to coexist next to Crunchyroll percentages? Or are they just going to be like, okay, if you have a Crunchyroll account that you pay for, you get the percentages, but the sales aren't, they're not going to be any sales. It's an interesting thing.
It's all under the umbrella of things. Basically, the umbrella of Sony acquiring all of these different little brands and making a big umbrella. Because they already had Funimation. And then when they merged with Crunchyroll, I mean, their catalog got massive. And now they're acquiring Right Stuff. So they have not only the means to show you the shows and stream the shows, but now they have the ability to sell you all kinds of different items from those shows. So this is a targeted approach. It's interesting to watch.
Yeah, because there used to be, like, the Funimation had its own store, Crunchyroll had and has its own store, and then Right Stuff had its own store, and then each store seemed to have exclusives, right? Like, Funimation would have like an exclusive version of a Blu-ray you could get. Crunchyroll had exclusive figures you could get, and then Right Stuff had their sales or their exclusive, like, partnerships with other places, especially when it came to the collector's editions, like the Gundam Deluxe collector's editions or the $200 plus collector's editions that were Right Stuff exclusives. So
I can read off, I'm looking at their website now, Right Stuff. So
let's hear it, Saeed. Let's hear it.
Yeah. As far as pricing goes, because I know that's one of the things we were talking about, what's going to happen with this. Our home has changed, but our prices haven't. You will continue to enjoy the same great prices on manga and home video. Save up to 20% off manga and 25% off home video every day now on the Crunchyroll store. So it sounds like it's just literally just going to be hosted on a different site.
That's
I don't know how. Yeah, I don't know. Maybe there's like a... I don't know how they're going to do it on the store itself.
Yeah, so I guess the ultimate question, which I think is one that we all were thinking when Sony bought Crunchyroll, it's a pro and a con, and I don't think there's a right answer to it. But it is... Now that Sony and all of these brands exist under, or like Funimation, Right Stuff, Crunchyroll exist under the Sony brand, and there's not really a major competitor to them in that space, like, you know, the ickiness of monopolies, are they going to keep that up? That's the big question.
Yeah, nobody wants to be hit with antitrust laws.
Hey, speaking of, Microsoft finally finished buying Activision, but that's like a different thing, so, you know.
True. I'm looking at the store right now, like the Crunchyroll store, and Wes, you bought that Berserker armor figure from Right Stuff, correct?
Oh no, I got it from Crunchyroll. The what was it? The pop-up parade Berserk.
Yeah. It's $10 off. It's $60 right now.
I mean, that's a deal. For sure.
Yeah.
And I did get some, when we were at Otakon, I did get some VTuber figures off the Crunchyroll store because they were significantly cheaper than the convention. So, yeah, we'll see. But that's just a heads up.
Like you said, it's a pro and a con. I think as long as the core of Right Stuff doesn't change drastically, it'll be a good merge.
Yeah.
I just wonder what'll happen to my account.
Yeah, and we'll find out in the coming months, right? We'll give a report. We'll give an update, especially as we approach the holidays, where traditionally Right Stuff has those massive sales. But before we move on to our big topic, again, keep thinking. See if you guys can guess it. Comment on our Instagram at BebopBanter on the announcement post this episode if you were able to guess it. And click the link tree in our bio, you know, if you like what we do and you want to support us. While you're there commenting on this post, you can either go to killthecrooks.com, use code VBOP15 for 15% off, or Demetrius, what else can they do?
You can go to our Patreon, or you can subscribe to either one of our tiers, which will have exclusive content that is currently up there, and more that is coming on the way. I know we've been saying that for quite some time.
Saeed and I have a plan for one, actually. Saeed and I have a potential plan for an interesting one coming up. You like that segue to our Instagram, by the way? I thought that was kind of clean. Slick. So yeah. So comment if you guessed what it is when we get to there. But there is one last piece of news also dealing with Crunchyroll. I guess two. One of them super small. Well, maybe not super small, but one of them is not as important in the long run. And that is that Crunchyroll, as a company, is teaming up with GSN, and they're going to be coming out with a Crunchyroll channel, which is going to be a 24/7 streaming anime channel that you can get on Amazon Freevee, LG channels, LG Smart TVs, the Roku channel, and Vizio Watch Free Plus. It's kind of similar to, what is it, Retro Crush?
That's another one of those Anime free. All Day.
Yeah. So if you have any of those places, or you just want a place, you know, that you can turn it on and it's only going to be anime 24/7, you can do that. But the bigger piece of news that applies actually to the people in this podcast, it just comes down to if we aren't lazy enough to do it, is that Crunchyroll has agreed to pay $16 million in a class action lawsuit settlement here. The lawsuit accused Crunchyroll of disclosing its subscribers' personally identifiable information to third parties without their consent in violation of the Video Privacy Protection Act, which that's a quote from the law firm behind the class action lawsuit. And according to the settlement, Crunchyroll did allegedly disclose users' personal information to third parties like Facebook, Google Analytics, and Adobe Analytics. What does this mean? Well, it means that if you subscribed to Crunchyroll, if you were a paid subscriber between September 8th, 2020 and September 20th, 2023, you could be eligible. You might have gotten an email. If not, you can just Google this and head to the law firm's website and fill out the form. It's gonna end up being about $30 paid out to you. Which, I mean, that's about 3 months worth of Crunchyroll at $9.99. Or it's just $30 in your pocket that you could spend at the Crunchyroll store and give them their money right back. But just a heads up, if you... Now, I need to look into it because I've been subscribed much longer. But it is if you subscribed to the streaming service between September 8th, 2020 and September 20th, 2023, you could be eligible for about $30. I have to see if it applies to other people. Can't see anything about that yet because this is kind of breaking news-ish. But just keep your eyes out on your email. And if you're interested, you can apply for it anyways. In worst case scenario, they just tell you you're not eligible. Best case scenario, you get $30. So there is that. But
People are getting in privacy and data trouble lately.
Trying to get slick.
These companies need to be up to date. It's about to get even more tricky with this AI stuff coming out.
Yeah.
Trust me.
But
how do you guys feel about that first thing though? The Crunchyroll channel.
I don't think it's
a bad idea.
Yeah, I don't think it's
the
a 24
hour
idea.
Thing.
Yeah,
I think it's a good idea. It's interesting because Funimation had the same thing, maybe about 10 to 15 years ago, on regular.
Yeah, they
cable.
Did. Yeah.
So I wonder if it's a Funimation pushed kind of project.
But is this a cable channel or is this like a live stream thing from different
so it's
services?
It's going to be one of those, like, you know how if you buy a TV and you don't have cable, but it has its own like quote unquote live TV service on it. That's where you'll find it. So like Roku channel, like if you buy an LG TV and you do like the LG TV option instead of your cable box
Samsung
option, it'll
TV,
be there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So it is going to be like a channel, right? It's free ish, right? Like we're not paying for it. It could, like, I turn Retro Crush on every once in a while and see a couple episodes of shows that I either never finished or haven't watched in a while, like Bubblegum Crisis or the old Yu-Gi-Oh's or something like that. So
Retro Crush, no joke, it was either Retro Crush or Anime All Day had Hunter x Hunter.
Yeah.
On, and they were in the, like, near the end of the Greed Island arc.
Like,
so it could be very, I think it's a positive move.
Yeah, I don't think there's any negative to it, right? Like, in a way, I don't know, it makes me kind of nostalgic. Like, I could go home and turn the Crunchyroll channel on and just watch random anime episodes.
You never know. You might get turned on to something. You never know.
There's a cool, like, little nostalgia gimmick. Like, let me see what's going on thing to that. I think it's cool. You know,
it's exciting.
More people that can get into anime, the better. And if they're doing it with Anime All Day and Retro Crush also doing it, like, there's obviously a market for it then, right?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Definitely.
So, hey.
As long as you're at least semi-paying attention to what show is on, you'll be fine. There's sometimes that it can drift into those fan-basey shows that you gotta be a little bit more careful.
Retro Crush can put on some sketchy stuff. Sometimes. What was it? Friend of the show, Amonit, said you're either getting Yu-Gi-Oh! Or an ecchi series, and there's no in-between.
And they do it. I mean, I think the Funimation channel, not even lying, another anime story, the Funimation channel is how I was introduced to Tenchi Muyo.
Ooh, that's a good one, though. As a kid, too, that was like...
Good show, but oh boy. You're gonna... Learn about the human body. That's all I'm going to say.
I remember as a kid growing up in Japan, this is another one of those weird lizard brain memories I have. I would just turn the TV on random because we lived off base for a year, like just in a Japanese little town next to some rice paddies. And no joke, Tenchi Muyo would be on. And that's like one of my earliest, before I even actually like got into anime as a kid, you know, it's just a cartoon. And I remember my parents saw... I don't even know what scene, but it's one of those Tenchi Muyo scenes, and they were like, nope, anime is not for you as a kid. And I remember when I started getting into anime as a teen, my parents were like, is this sketchy stuff? Like what you used to watch as a kid in Japan? And I was like, no.
It's not that. It's
not, but...
It is that, 100%.
As I flick Keijo on, like,
No. This is a show of culture. You must understand.
It's a sports series.
It is called Hip Whip. This is a sport that is competitive on the highest of classes.
And they did it in real life in Spain and Portugal. So, like, duh.
Did they really?
Yeah, I'll send a link, but it's funny. They put pads on them and stuff so that they couldn't get hurt, but they tried. But yeah, it'll be interesting to see what they're streaming, whether it's newer anime or whether it's the classics like Dragon Ball, which is a perfect segue into what we're actually going to be talking about for the rest of this episode. You know, we got kind of some of the news out of the way, but perhaps the biggest news, big news, is Dragon Ball got a new anime announced, and it was very much not the one that people wanted to see, but I think it's the one that hopefully people will be glad that they got, at least right now, you know. And that is Dragon Ball Daima.
Yep, not Super.
Nope, originally leaked as Dragon Ball Magic over the past couple years. According to trusted insiders on the internet, which, you know, typically that doesn't go hand in hand, but we've been hearing reports about this for a while. People like Anime AJ and such on Twitter that actually have worked with or are friends with people like Baccarat and stuff that are animators at Toei. This is a project that started production right after Dragon Quest The Adventures of Dai ended. The idea was kind of pitched and conceptualized in 2021, with the team being put together after Adventures of Dai ended in 2022, and it is slated for a fall 2024 release. It was announced at New York Comic Con to, you know, some mixed reactions from the crowd. I don't know if any of you guys saw some of the crowd reactions before they put the actual trailer up on the internet, but there were a few people that were not happy with it.
I would imagine there's...
You know,
because everyone's been waiting for the continuation of Super.
There were some
here's
people.
An offshoot.
Yep, there were some. Dude, the meme you put was hilarious in our chat, Demetrius. You know, of the car veering off. But there were a lot of people, you know, that while the trailer was running, were like kind of booing and kind of saying, you know, we want Super. But it's important to note before we give our thoughts on it. Because this fact is very much, I think, going to paint our conversation around it. Daima is designed to be a celebration of the 40th anniversary of Dragon Ball as a franchise. And it's important here that Dragon Ball is emphasized.
Mm-hmm.
Dude, we were on the same wavelength there, Saeed. Shout out. because one, I feel like no one watched, like, in the grand scheme of the fandom, a lot of people, majority of people probably have not seen original Dragon Ball. And original Dragon Ball is what started it all. So as you go to the 40th anniversary, what better way to celebrate than going back to its roots? Again, before I open it up to conversation here, according to Anime AJ on Twitter, who again is friends with animators that are working on this series that he has spoken to, and now he can talk about some of the details he's heard from them. It's coming out fall 2024, 24-minute episodes. Not even the animators know how long the series is going to be. The staff includes character designers and color designers from Dragon Ball Super Broly and Dragon Ball Super Super Hero. The art director is the person that was in charge of Dragon Ball Yo Son Goku and Friends Return, which was that special that came out,
I think it was
over a decade ago.
2014, right? 2015, somewhere there.
Like close to there. The director of the series, this is his first big directorial debut. He worked on some of the episodes in Dragon Ball Super, notably the Evolution Blue Vegeta episodes against God Topo. That was some of his work in Dragon Ball Super. So it seems they have a good staff around it. Again, fall 2024, so there's a lot of time coming out. And the plot centers around Goku and the entire cast turning into kids from a wish. Very similar to what you would think from Dragon Ball GT, but it's the entirety of the cast. There is not going to be, again, according to Anime AJ and the animators working on it that he's spoken to, there are not going to be any new forms or transformations. It is going to focus on hand-to-hand combat, more in line with the original Dragon Ball series, because this is the 40th anniversary of Dragon Ball. And that is why there was a large emphasis of Goku as a kid wielding the power pole. There's not going to be any moments like in GT where they rolled back Kid Goku by just having him be able to turn Super Saiyan 4. No, it is supposed to be as if this is a Dragon Ball style story, which means there's probably going to be a lot of comedy. There's going to be a lot of hand-to-hand combat.
Base, that type hopefully of thing. Base forms then.
Yep. But just with the cast of characters from Z and Super, kind of. Long-winded explanation of it here, but Demetrius, sounds like you got some thoughts. So what are we thinking?
So if we're talking hand-to-hand combat, let's be honest. Vegeta's suffering immediately. Vegeta loves his ki blasts, so he's gonna be suffering.
The spams.
Yeah, he loves to spam that button. And then what was interesting, I guess, and I saw a very small clip. I don't want to say it's exactly what was said, but Toriyama said, like, this is a never-before concept, which is classic Toriyama because he'll...
Yeah.
He did the same thing with Broly.
Yep.
Like, he's like, oh, this is a character you've never seen before, quote-unquote.
Yeah.
It's like, yeah, okay. I mean, GT laid the foundation. We're not going to say that GT changed the age of the entire cast, but it definitely laid the groundwork for, like, oh yeah, you could change the character back with a wish, why not? Overall though, I'm interested. I'm personally, I will go on record to say I am more interested in this story than I am in Super continuing, and that's just me, because I read the Moro arc. I still haven't read the Granola arc. But there's something magical about the original Dragon Ball that if they're able to come close to capturing the lightning in the bottle again, I think it'll be a success.
Mm-hmm. Right. But I want to add on, the only reservation I have is I feel like because it involves the entirety of, like, the current cast, is going to, to me, I don't know, it feels a little like, oh, this is just some side filler stuff, like a baby Looney Tunes type thing, if that makes sense.
It is like baby Looney Tunes.
Yeah, baby that's Looney a good way Tunes, to put it. But like a Dragon Ball version. Because I like the concept of going back to pay homage to how Dragon Ball was when it first came out with the hand-to-hand and combat type stuff, not focusing on ki blasts and stuff. I would have liked it, I guess, if they focused on... It'd be a lot harder, but like a whole new story in that perspective with like the OG OGs.
Yeah.
Like the Bulmas, the Goku, Yamcha, Krillin, Master Roshi, Tien, Yamcha, yeah. Tien. Because the only thing I have reservation about is including the entirety of the current cast into the babyfication thing. Because obviously it's not going to be taken as seriously, even though Dragon Ball itself wasn't that serious of a story, of a series. But there were moments where it got serious. And there's a canon element to it where in my mind I'm like, is this going to be straight up not canon at all? And I feel like that would deter people from watching it. Because Super is basically canon in a lot of the fan base's eyes. Like the events of Super. Yeah. But I don't know how this would stack up.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
but that's a good point. The concept of hand-to-hand combat, I am looking forward to watching those fights more than any Super fight.
Yeah, some of the best fights.
I'm in
fights.
The boat, and I'm... Yeah, mm-hmm. I'm in the boat. I'm pretty sure you guys are as well. Some of Dragon Ball's best fights, arguably, including Z, Dragon Ball's best fights in general, were from the original series in the martial arts tournaments. Dude. There were some crazy fights there.
Goku versus Demon King Piccolo.
Goku versus Tien was kind of fire, too.
That
was
where good. Tien has the clones and he has the multi-arms. Yes. Goku versus, 23rd World Tournament, where it's the teen Goku against Ma Jr. before he's like Piccolo.
Mm-hmm.
That's
Goku
sweet.
Versus Jackie Chan or whatever.
Jackie Chun.
That was really good, too. Mm-hmm. I love those world martial art tournament arcs in Dragon Ball. So if they could just give us that, basically, I feel like it'd be fun.
General Tao?
I mean...
Mercenary Tao?
See, those had stories woven into that, too. It wasn't just the tournament.
I think...
There was, like, background stuff leading up to it and all that stuff.
Yeah, and Dragon Ball popularized, like, a tournament aspect. So they... I mean, they were the creators, and they did it really well. I'm not saying they were the first, but they popularized it.
Dude, I still remember... Did any of you guys... It was my favorite VHS as a kid. I had the Dragon Ball... What was it? Mystical Adventure movie? That was the whole world tournament where Mercenary Tao... It has the two like Native American guys in it. The dad and his little kid. And it's kind of the retelling of the whole Mercenary Tao, Red Ribbon Army, like Tien and Chao Tzu type of deal.
Mm-hmm.
I saw that once.
That was class. Mercenary Tao like killing people with his tongue or whatever he would do.
Yeah.
He's out here licking people.
Yeah.
And Dragon Ball's so fun.
Chaozu's wife is like a doll.
I wish they did a Kaiification version of Dragon Ball, like OG Dragon Ball.
So
that would have been sick.
If you've
they
never
did that
seen
Path
the
to
movie,
Power movie.
Yeah, Path to Power was amazing.
Mm-hmm.
That is Z tier. You have to watch that if you're a Dragon Ball fan.
Hey, and
Path
they
had,
to Power Kid
they
Goku
had,
is in Dokkan.
They had Bulma's hair color correct.
Yep, the purple.
Yeah.
It was purple instead of blue.
Mm-hmm.
That's a good movie, honestly.
Yeah. It's just a retelling of the kind of first arc they got. Yo, Android 8 was in it too? Are you kidding?
Yeah, Android 8. It's
Hotshot?
It's like a retelling all the way through the end of the Red Ribbon Army arc.
Yeah. It's good.
Mm-hmm.
It's so good.
Dragon Ball was so fun. Again, people listening, if you haven't seen original Dragon Ball, highly, highly recommend.
That's
and
my worry, fun. Though.
That's
my worry
that's
about
the thing.
This series.
Like, the timeout to that comment, which is very valid. If you haven't seen Dragon Ball, you should see it. But do not go into Dragon Ball expecting Dragon Ball Z, Dragon Ball GT, or Dragon Ball Super. Dragon Ball was the first, and it was more rooted in adventure and comedy.
Here's the way that I can say people can judge it. If you watched Dragon Ball Super Superhero and you thought that it was funny and it had its moments, and if you thought some of the comedy stuff in Dragon Ball Super Broly was funny because it had its moments, like with Frieza and stuff, but Superhero more so with some of the comedy and humor that they put into it, Dragon Ball, the OG Dragon Ball, is like that, but funnier and more of a focus on kind of comedy stuff.
Mm-hmm.
If you watched Superhero, because that's like the most recent Dragon Ball feeling thing. If you watch Superhero and you were like, man, this is stupid, I just want to watch people fight, you will not like OG Dragon Ball.
No, you won't.
Yeah.
And that's what I'm worried about with this series, is it's going to come out and the OG Dragon Ball fans are going to be like, yo, this is, I mean, in best case scenario, the Dragon Ball fans are going to be like, this is what we've wanted to see. Goku fighting with the power pole, like figuring out creative ways on how to beat his enemies because he's not as strong, he doesn't have the transformations. Like, I still remember when he did the Kamehameha out from his feet.
That was so Piccolo. Cool. I wish they would use their techniques like that.
Or it wasn't a ki blast, spoiler alert, you know, skip forward like 15 seconds here. It wasn't a ki blast that killed Demon King Piccolo. It was him Kamehameha-ing to fling himself into the air to punch through Demon King Piccolo.
It was so good, man.
God, it's like, but I'm worried that, and welcome back to the people that skipped those little spoilers. I'm really worried that people aren't gonna, I don't want to say appreciate it.
I feel like they would like not, that, but like, I don't know if this new series is even gonna go to that extent in their combat stuff, which is why I brought up the baby Looney Tunes comparison, because I have a feeling this just might be a kiddified version to appeal to like a younger audience in Japan.
So they did say it is aimed at, let me pull up this Anime AJ thread here.
I wonder because, if it's like a chibi version of Dragon Ball Z is kind of what it sounds like.
So let me pull this up. With
a Dragon Ball flavor.
Mm-hmm.
Because he did say that, let's see here.
And of course, we don't know who the enemy is of this. Or, quote-unquote, who made this wish that kiddified everybody.
It's going to be peel off again.
All right, so here's from
that's
the,
what I thought. I wasn't going to say it.
No, it's not peel off. It's not peel off, luckily. But here's what he knows about Dragon Ball Daima, right? Episode count is unknown. Not even animators know the length. Series does not feature any flip-flopping multiple art styles. It starts in Classic Z and then shifts to modern Toriyama when they're de-aged in Episode 1. Episode length is standard 24 minutes. While the concept of de-aging the character sounds like GT on paper, it's not that at all. It's very much designed to feel and be in the vein of JRPGs like Dragon Quest and Blue Dragon. It's correct, Nakatsuru is the character designer for the show. He designed series for series. This is all production stuff. This doesn't really matter. Some of the chief animation people, this doesn't matter. Production began at the tail end of 2021 with Toei creating a pilot in 2022. Full staff were recruited April 2022 with animation starting in October, the same year when Dai ended. You can expect all the major players from Dragon Quest Dai to make an appearance. The emphasis is on hand-to-hand combat and traditional weapons rather than on ki blast spams. Don't hold your breath for any DBS transformation stuff especially. And finally, while it's true that the series is aimed at a younger audience, there will still be dramatic moments. This is now interesting. I want to get your thoughts on this since both of you have seen the trailer. While it's true the series is aimed at a younger audience, there will still be dramatic moments. Production documents that he's seen state Jujutsu Kaisen and Demon Slayer as sources of inspiration. Further clarification, it refers to production values and meeting quality that was established during Daima's production. So the goal is to have a Demon Slayer Jujutsu Kaisen quality anime series.
So my question is, what if that is true, then we are potentially heading into an original work that has viral moments. If that is true.
And that's what we've said makes success.
I'm thinking the Jujutsu Kaisen and Demon Slayer thing is more referring to the animation quality and things of that nature. I highly doubt they're talking about story beat and stuff like that.
I assume course, it's animation quality and stuff too.
Like high quality
this might be
fights.
The most... This might be the most well-animated Dragon Ball thing that they might ever produce so far. Like, it's going to be better than Super. It's going to be better than Z, obviously, because he's pretty old. But I feel like that's what they're trying to get at. It's going to be, like, high animation quality episodes
We know throughout. Not to trust trailers. Like,
it's going
to
be...
Right. The trailer looked clean.
The trailer looked clean, and based off that statement, potentially what we saw in the trailer is the standard for their animation. Is what I'm thinking that what they're going to try to do.
Mm-hmm. And
as close to that kind of quality.
And further on that, Toriyama did put a statement out. I think I sent it to our group chat. I'm not going to read the whole thing, but the parts of note. He said, since Goku has to make up for his petite size, he uses the power pole to fight, something we have not seen in a long time. Hope you enjoy these different from usual battles that are cute and powerful. So it sounds like, you know...
Baby Looney Tunes.
Baby Looney Tunes in a way, but, you know, the fact that he mentioned the power pole, he has to make up for the petite size. I would not like to see Super Saiyan in this.
It sounded like it's not going to be there. It sounds like base form stuff. Straight base form. I don't know what their excuse is going to be lore-wise. How they say, okay, they turn to kids. Did they forget they can turn into Super Saiyans? Is it like a memory wipe thing?
Or maybe their body can't handle it, like GT mentioned. But then again, you had Kid Goten and Kid Trunks. So how young are they turning?
That's true.
Yeah.
I saw some memes. I won't say what it showed certain characters there were some funny de-aging memes for some of the younger characters.
It would have been cool. They could have had this concept, including everybody in the current cast de-ageifying or whatever, but don't make it like a de-ageifying thing. Make it like an alternate universe thing where that's just how old they are before they turn Super Saiyan and all that stuff.
One of the things that's very rich about Dragon Ball is the Dragon Balls. And strangely enough, it's one of the things that's used the least.
Yeah.
Especially in like recent arcs.
As the series went on, I feel like the Dragon Balls became a moot point.
Like, what if
one of my favorite arcs is the first arc of Dragon Ball.
Yeah, like what if you had a villain that... I don't know, came to Earth or was on another planet entirely that had Dragon Balls that knew about Earth, which again goes into the what if stories because those are very interesting, that's decided, you know, hey, I want all of the powerful warriors on Earth, I want them all sent off over to this planet, or I want them all weakened to their child state, or there's so many different things you could do with a Dragon Ball focused concept. And you know, the earliest story of that, without spoiling it, it was King Piccolo. That was when Dragon Ball made its first big like leap off of the Dragon Balls and said, you know, what if we did this? And it changed the game. And I think honestly, you stop seeing the Dragon Balls used effectively after Z ends.
I would even say you stop seeing them used effectively after the Planet Namek saga.
Yeah, after Frieza, really.
After you get introduced to the fact there's Dragon Balls on other planets as well, or like Namek, with better wishing potential there too.
I mean, not spoiling Super, but the arc right after Moro deals with Dragon Balls on other planets to a certain extent.
Right.
Mm.
It makes it less special, I guess, like the original Earth Dragon Balls, less special, because it's like, it's not that unique anymore.
Yeah.
And the series, you know, I mentioned it a couple minutes ago, one of my favorite arcs in the entire franchise is the very first arc, because it is just an adventure for the Dragon Balls.
Mm-hmm.
Like, Bulma is trying to find them, Goku tags along, and they get into a bunch of shenanigans on the way. And it's the very much Journey to the West inspired series Toriyama talked about it being. Which leads me into my next question to close this episode for you guys. Because my hope for this series is that somehow, some way, we get those classic Dragon Ball fights. You know, more martial arts focused, more creative combat than just, you know, Ki Blast spams and brute force. And I really want it to capture that adventure feel from the original Dragon Ball. Something that I feel like GT attempted to do, but ultimately didn't fully succeed in doing. I want that feel. It's super broad, but I want the OG Dragon Ball, like, first season feel to it. So what are your guys' hopes for Dragon Ball Daima? As I mean, it's still a year out, fall 2024. But what do you guys want out of this series?
I mean, I really haven't formed what I want to think, what I want to see. I want it to be a Dragon Ball feel show in terms of just adventure, comedy. I'm a little worried. Saeed brought up a good point that I hadn't considered. I'm a little worried about the magnet, like how big the cast is. If you're going to just kidify everyone.
Yeah, how involved because is everyone going to be?
Yeah, how old is everyone going to be? Are they going to be the same age? Are we going to take the kids all the way down to infancy? There's a lot of little questions that we'll just have to wait and see what it turns out to be. But I like the idea of going back to basics of hand-to-hand combat, creative fighting, less flying and ki blast. I hope to see the flying Nimbus. Honestly, that's the highest hope that I have right now.
Oh, true. That's probably one of the coolest concepts of Dragon Ball.
Yeah, and I want to see more adventure-based series. Is this going to take place on Earth, or are we taking it somewhere else?
Yo, you remember when Bulma fell through the flying Nimbus in the very beginning?
Yep. Impure.
You gotta be pure.
Yep.
Pure of heart.
Roshi tried to do it too. He falls through.
Yeah. But for me, the biggest glaring thing in my mind when I think of this is like, I don't know how I feel about a babyfied Vegeta incorporated into a Dragon Ball-esque story. Because this is going to feel to me like this is just fake. I'm like, this doesn't make sense. I don't know how they're going to incorporate it because I know Wes brought up the fact that they're going to try to incorporate JRPG elements. That makes me think of Dragon Quest because Toriyama also works on Dragon Quest. So it might be... I don't doubt the fights. I know that they're going to be good because that's what they said they're going to focus on mainly. But the thing I'm worried about or curious about is the story element because it's like... Am I just going to watch the fights or am I going to be engaged enough to keep up with the story? That's the difference. Because I feel like if I end up not liking the story, I'll go back and watch the fights whenever there are fights. But I don't think how... I don't know if I'm alone in this boat, but I don't know if the fan base in general would be interested in following a story that's like not too serious. Based on like what Super has delved into, I don't know how the overlap is going to be like. But again, the target audience isn't even that audience. It's a different target audience.
Right.
So I would curious argue, to wait and see.
I would almost argue that most of Dragon Ball since, I mean, you could say even before Z ended, wasn't the strongest narratively.
No.
So if they have a strong story, I'd be shocked. Truthfully.
Yeah. I'm questioning if the narrative would even reach anything in like Super level. Like, I don't know if it's going to be like an episodic thing. That's another thing. We don't know if it's going to be like an episodic type of show with fights at the end of the episode or something like that. I have no idea.
Yeah, it could be like an adventure. Could be like an adventure and then they do it very similar to Samurai Champloo, where it's like there's the overall goal, but then each episode is a little thing.
I feel like the goal is going to be to get the Dragon Balls to turn back to the right age, potentially, is what I'm guessing, is what this show is going to go towards.
And then there's going to be the guy that turned them and his army of goons or whatever that they're going to have to fight, very JRPG-like, right? That are protecting the Dragon Balls who are also hunting them down.
It's like the Blue Ribbon Army this time. Or something, I don't know.
The Blue Ribbon Army.
Hey, there's some.
Dealt
there's
with
some
the Bloods and not the Crips.
There's some particular Red Ribbon Army officers that I'm like, I don't know if that name combination with the character would fly nowadays.
Oh yeah, there's some questionable ones out there. Definitely questionable ones.
So it's.
But I am looking forward to it, just to see what they're gonna do.
And that made me think, your comment side made me think, do Dragon Ball fans in general even, like, assuming they attempt to have a narrative in this series, right? Like, a strong narrative. Do Dragon Ball fans even want that? Like, look at the success of something like Dragon Ball Heroes, where it really is just fan service crossover, transformation, 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 without really a cohesive plot. But people love it for the fights and the transformations and the fan service. Like, do Dragon Ball fans nowadays want to have this kind of series? I don't know. It's weird. It's really weird. I feel
like the concept of it being like a babyfied version of the people, you need some sort of engaging story elements to make it seem at least a little bit serious. Because otherwise, like I said earlier, it might just come off as like a baby Looney Tunes type thing. Like, it's just like, oh, it's just one of these shows. Like, and a chibi version show type thing. I'm pretty sure there's a One Piece spinoff that went on. I don't know if it still goes on. There's like a chibi version of them.
There was an attack on,
do with anything.
There was an Attack on Titan 1, 2, the Attack on Titan High School.
There's a lot of actually.
Yeah. Those type of shows. That's what I'm thinking this is, but the animation quality dialed up to a 9. But I'm pretty sure from what you said, like we mentioned before, they just want to hook a younger audience into Dragon Ball potentially and feed them through that pipeline. Like, they'll watch this show and enjoy it, then they'll get into like Z, Super. I feel like that's the strategy, I guess.
Yeah.
It's... Find that Dragon Ball. Look out for them all.
Dude, that theme song was so good.
Dragon Ball's so fun.
It's the Japanese version, Makafushigi Adventure, is on Spotify, by the way.
Ooh, nice.
It's really good.
Like, even though OG Dragon Ball, it was like fun, whimsical comedy adventure, like heavy, there was serious elements to it, and it wasn't that babyfied. Like, it wasn't a show just for like little kids. Like,
yeah,
an older audience, I feel like, could enjoy OG Dragon Ball.
Yeah, like they were little, but there are heavier moments in Dragon Ball.
Yes.
Than you would expect.
Also, I feel like if it has some of the... I know I mentioned the humor as being like something I was kind of worried about. But if it has some of that OG Dragon Ball humor, there's some moments that could be very easily memed.
Oh, bro. I don't know if they can dip into that humor anymore.
Bro.
They cannot do what they did in Chapter 1, Episode 1, or whatever.
Or Goku.
Yeah, they can't do that. They can't do that anymore.
No, can't play patty cake on episode
no,
one.
No, but what else?
Oh my god!
That
was so funny though.
The Krillin fight in the world tournament.
Oh yeah, with the stinky guy.
Bro, you don't have a nose, and he's like, oh yeah.
Oh, you're right. Yo,
I can't smell him anyways. This
is a series where you could almost use Vegeta being, you know, a warrior prince as a comedic element of like, oh, you didn't know this was a thing? He's like, no, what are you talking about? Like, oh, just man, do that.
They have him play the straight man in the comedy duo. Yeah, that could be.
Yeah, I'm curious. I'm curious if there's like a memory wipe element to it, which then I'd be more enticed to watch it. Because if they have their memories still of when they were like adults, then I'm like, this, I don't know how they're going to do that. But if there's like a memory wipe element to it, that'd be fun.
Because we know Kid Vegeta. We know Kid Vegeta was serious.
Oh yeah.
Right? We saw that in some of Z, where it shows him on the planet. And we saw that in Dragon Ball Super Broly when the Saiyans get wiped out and he's on a planet like killing everybody. So we know he's a more serious character, and Kid Goku is just a goof.
Mm-hmm.
Yep.
So man, this is a series that I want to succeed so badly. Yeah. And it hurt me to see the reaction online. Like, we joke about it. I play Dragon Ball Z Dokkan Battle, the gacha game, and there are certain YouTubers I watch, not as much anymore, but one of the Dokkan YouTubers I watch sometimes put a reaction up to this. And I'm not going to necessarily put his YouTube channel out there or anything, because I kind of stopped watching a lot because he is kind of a creep on certain things. But he put a reaction out to it and was like, while I'm going to be... And I saw this parroted, not necessarily parroted, but, you know, the same thought across the internet. And he was like, well, I want to be positive, and I'm going to like this, and it's going to give us new Dokkan units and that type of thing. I'm in Dragon Ball at this point for the transformations and the crazy spectacle Ki Blast fights and wild techniques and stuff. Mm. And I saw that across the internet when this was announced. And I saw the memes of, like, I think I sent one to the group chat of the Rugrats opening, but they put Goku's hair on Tommy Pickles. And they were like Dragon Ball Magic looking fire, or Dragon Ball Daima looking fire.
If Dragon Ball Dio or whatever is as deep as Rugrats, I'd watch it. Because Rugrats, we were talking about this before recording. Rugrats is not just for kids.
The lore. But there's so much lore there.
But it hurt me to see that be like a prevailing thought on the internet that, like, I am into, like, we've gotten to the point again with heroes and with aspects of even going all the way back to Super Saiyan 3 in Dragon Ball Z. Like, we're at a point in Dragon Ball where it's like people watch it just to see the transformations and the fights and don't care about anything else. And if that's there's none of that in this series, like, man, I really hope it succeeds.
It's not targeted at them. That's what I get at. I think it's for smaller children.
Yeah, like the fandom that likes Dragon, if it succeeds and it's like Dragon Ball, the Dragon Ball fans are going to like it, and the kids or the target demographic are going to like it. The people that have come to love Super Saiyan Blue Evolution, Red Flame, Super Abs Demetrius thing going on, they're not going to like it, because transformations are, I mean, you basically have rainbow hair at this point. It's only a matter of time. Are you trying to
tell me that Super Full Saiyan, Super Full Power Saiyan 4 Limit Breaker Vegito Zeno isn't a cool sounding transformation to you?
You just said a paragraph. Sounds at like me, a mech. And how do you even? there just comes a point where it's like, are we really doing this? Because there's gonna be some transformation. Everybody's got their own hair color now.
It's true. It's true.
So it's
we got
not bad. It's just different.
Oh man,
I think it's lazy.
I would argue that I don't necessarily subscribe to it.
But I'm just saying Super Saiyan 4 is cooler than all those.
I think we've had this argument before, pure too, on the podcast.
No, okay. No. I will agree from design-wise. I love Super Saiyan 4. But it just feels so not Dragon Ball. They did it just because this is where I'm actually, this is a legitimate point too that I'm very interested to see. From production notes of Dragon Ball GT, Super Saiyan 4 was designed because the animators found it too hard to animate Kid Goku fights. So they gave him a transformation to age him up and make him full size to make cooler fights. Have we come past that point to where you can make a kid fight interesting? That's like,
bro,
a legitimate question.
You paused too long in what you said. I'm getting myself back together.
No, I think you could. They did it with Dragon Ball.
Yeah, so I'm like,
I think you just have to think harder about it.
Yeah.
Like, you have to be more creative with the disproportion in body size.
It's probably because you can't get as violent in, like, the fight progression involving, like, a kid-esque character.
Okay, well, look at DKP. Look at DKP versus Goku.
Yo, look at Made in Abyss, bro.
Good gosh. Yo, Made in Abyss, like...
Yeah, but...
Oh, my goodness.
No, but I get what you're saying. I get what you're saying for sure. Like, there's an aspect of fights.
Why would it be hard to... Yeah, why would it be hard to animate a smaller version of Goku? Is less to draw. He's smaller.
Well, I think it just came down to, like, what Demetrius was saying, right? Like, how interesting can you make it be? And and when you had, like, in GT, you had Kid Goku fighting... very much in this, like, going Super Saiyan, fighting very much in the same style as Z Goku just as a kid.
So remember, let's point to a specific fight here. A specific fight where you could point at maybe Kid Goku being, I wouldn't say boring, but just difficult to animate, would be Kid Goku versus Baby Goten, Baby Gohan.
Yeah.
I can't remember who else was there. I think it was just those two. Maybe Trunks.
Goten, Gohan, and Trunks, I think, was Baby Fight at that. Was Vegeta right there, too? Was Baby Vegeta, like, in Vegeta the very was first there, yeah, form he was there. Of Baby Vegeta?
He was there, but,
it's
like...
because they try to... GT didn't work because they try to make the Baby Fight Goku... Not Baby, like, the younger Goku fight...
Just Goku.
On a scale... Yeah, on a scale that's, like, otherworldly when you did... Ideally, you'd have to dial everything back in, like, the power, like, the power cap for your destructive capability has to go dramatically down for this to work.
Yeah. That's where your whole like, mind wipe thing...
Super Saiyans can't be a thing.
Yeah.
I feel like Super Saiyans cannot be a thing in this new series whatsoever. And, like, the villains aren't going to be these world-ending type villains. It's going to be, like, a scheming type villain.
Yeah, you fix.
Hopefully,
you fix this. You fix this super easily by what if the wish, right? Even though you know people are gonna argue like, oh, there's limits to what the Dragon Balls can do and all that. What if just the wish is like, whatever bad guy gets the Dragon Balls and is like, here's an easy out for the writers, right? I wish for all of the world's strongest fighters to be how they were when they were kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you it cannot scaled, transform.
Yeah, it scales their power down so they can't transform, right?
They don't have the knowledge. It has to be a memory wipe thing, man. The more that I'm thinking about this, it would make no sense if they still had all their memories.
Yeah, there's some limiter here.
There's some kind of element that has to be there, yeah.
That's what I'm saying. If this is just an alternate universe thing where they're all kids from the jump, no Dragon Ball turning them into kids type thing, I feel like it would work better.
Yeah, it's...
Maybe.
I would have almost liked to see just similar to bring it back to something you said a while ago, Saeed, an adventure in the Dragon Ball era that we had never seen before.
Yeah.
Yeah, that would have been cool.
Like the cast down to like the OGs, like the Krillin, Yamcha, Goku, Bulma, Yamcha,
Puar, Oolong.
Puar.
Launch!
Canonically... The time between after adult Goku versus Piccolo, there's a whole time frame before Z. There's definitely time periods before some of the world tournaments that are unused.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. True.
It's possible.
Man, that training arc before the first world tournament, though, where...
The milk crate.
Goku and Krillin. The milk crate. I'm looking at my figure shelves, and I have the kid Goku with the turtle shell on with the milk crate. And that's one of my favorite figures still, because that's so fun.
The more that I think about it, the concept of this whole, like, if they wanted to go the Dragon Ball route, they could have did that. And if they still wanted to include characters like Vegeta, it could have been like cutting back and forth type thing, like on Earth. This is what they're doing in Planet Vegeta.
That would have been
this
sweet.
This is what Vegeta, Nappa, Raditz were doing as kids, because that we haven't seen that before.
That would have been cool.
That aspect of it, like a Dragon Ball version of a Vegeta story going on at the same time as a Goku story.
Man, and then you end it. Oh, dude, you show different like. Not before seen or slightly reanimated scenes leading up to Vegeta coming to Earth at the Saiyan Saga, and you end it with...
Yeah, and that's the finale of this, yeah.
Oh, you end it with the clip they showed of Goku's Kamehameha against Vegeta's Gallic Gun. Oh, yeah. Man.
Hire me.
He said, hire me, bro.
He said, you hit us with the claim before.
Think about it. Vegeta went on so many adventures, but... He had to have. Him, Raditz, and Nappa were a unit, basically, canon-wise.
Mm-hmm. We've seen little glimpses at it.
Like a story of them as kids going to planet, doing their thing, having their own adventures, similar to what Goku used to have looking for the Dragon Balls.
Oh, man. That would have been so sweet, dude.
I wish.
Yeah. But on that note, you know, everybody, what are you thinking about Dragon Ball Daima? Have you even watched OG Dragon Ball? Is this something that you're interested in? Let us know again by commenting on the announcement post of this episode on our Instagram at @BebopBanter, @Bebop_banter. And don't forget, if you like what we do, by far you don't have to, but you can support our show directly by joining our Patreon tiers at $1 or $5. $1 or $5. Thank you to our new patron, by the way. You know who you are out there. And at the $5 tier, too. Hey, thank you very much. Or you can go to killthecrooks.com, use code Bebop15, get yourself some anime-inspired street merch, and save 15% on it. But let us know. You know, this is simultaneously, I think from this last hour of us talking about it, a super exciting development in the world of anime and Dragon Ball, but also one that it's going to be interesting to see the reaction to. So again, follow us on Instagram, comment with your thoughts, and you know, thank you for listening, and thank you guys for sticking around on our brief hiatus. Look forward to the next episode next week, where you know, we might talk a little bit about what we were doing on our hiatus. So yeah, it's good to be back, boys. It's good to, hey, round of applause. Round of applause for getting back into it. It's glad, glad I hope to those are your hands. You guys again. Oh, dude, I mean, you know, you know. But I might have to be going to do some stuff real quick. So on that note, you know, my name was Wes. This was Demetrius and Saeed. And you guys know what to hit them with.
To be continued.
Bebop, don't stop.
Peace.